Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at King's Coast Coffee.
It's finally here, Tim.
Yeah, it's here. Episode 100.
And Andor.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We got booty calls, brothels, swearing.
And then we also watched Andor.
No, that was, well, yeah, sure, that works. Welcome to episode 100. Of Star Wars and Scotch. This episode is going to be a little racy because Andor was a little racy, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. There was a pre and post sex scene.
There was no like post sex cuddles. It was just like it was after.
She had no pants on.
The dude's name's Tim with two M's.
Two M's. Well, he's dead. So
he's spoilers.
Well, I would hope that if you're listening to this episode, you know that there will be spoilers for Andor. So Tim with two M's.
We didn't really warn anyone.
Episode 100.
What if it's like their first time? Like, oh, cool, a Star Wars podcast.
Well, then they'll never listen to us again, or they'll start listening afterwards. Anyway,
hopefully before you turn off the podcast, you head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and order your freshly roast to order coffee. I'm sipping on our roaster's choice, which is like, it's like Russian roulette, really, when it comes to coffee. You don't know what you're going to get.
I'm also having roaster's choice today.
Excellent. So. Wayne's really been killing it lately with the roaster's choice. I really enjoy it. We're also getting ready for fall. Thursday, tomorrow, we will be switching over to our seasonal fall roast.
Yeah, the autumn.
That one's good. That's a South American roast. That one's got like, those are like really like, it's good like holiday notes too. It always brings out the fall. Fall's coming, Kevin. We're getting highs in the 80s next week. I love this time of year.
See, this is the problem.
I love this time of year. Welcome to Florida.
Fall to you is the 80s. It's just like summer, and then I get a little bit of fall and winter in December, January.
There's a high of 82 in the 7-day forecast, Kevin. Like, that's a big deal. You know when you can, like, smell the air changing a little bit? Like, that's what happens when I open up a bag of King's Coast coffee. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com, and you can get a little bag of fall air in every bag of King's Coast coffee.
Right from
Long Island air in every bag.
Market it like that.
Yeah.
Get a little bit of Long Island air.
A little bit of Long Island in every bag. What does that mean? What from Long Island's in there? The air.
As long as you don't say in Long Island, we're good.
It's the air on Long Island.
On Long Island. The air is on Long Island at all times. So we got our first... Three episodes of Andor.
Episodes. That was essentially a movie.
I understand why they made it three episodes.
As soon as I
two.
Got through the first two episodes, I said, oh, I understand why they made it three. Because if they would have done that, if they would have spent 3 weeks releasing that, I would have flipped a goddamn table.
Well, originally it was supposed to be the first two episodes, so we would have ended.
I still
would have
flipped a goddamn table.
Those first two episodes ended at very weird spots.
Yeah,
too.
So that was one of the things that I wanted to mention with this. We want to like jump right into it. The cadence is very odd, and it's because it's broken up. It's segmented. If they wouldn't have segmented it, if it would have just been one long run from like start to finish, I really would have liked it that way. If episode one was literally those three episodes just smushed together, it would have felt right. But the way they break it up with like a cliffhanger to just, you know, you're going to go watch the next one. And that's why it felt awkward, because there wasn't enough to be like, ooh, what's going to happen next week? And it was just like, why can't we just keep going? So that was like, that was really the biggest negative for me with this so far, was just the cadence felt awkward.
Here's my thing. This is the problem with the TV show versus movie idea.
Yeah.
You essentially got an hour and a half worth of content.
It was an hour and a half worth of world building.
Right. So rather than break it up into half, I don't see, my point is this, I don't see the point of breaking that up into three episodes. I think you could have just had a premiere of one episode.
Yeah, I really would have liked that.
Fluff with everything.
They completely, I feel like they kind of played us with how they're doing the storytelling, where they're like, it was going to be like segmented into like three parts. And I think what's going to happen is it's not that it's segmented into like three parts, because I always felt like when we were going to go back in time, we were going to see like early Cassian, and then we're going to see like middle Cassian, and then we were going to go and see like right before. And it seems like what's happening, so we're at 5 BBY. So this is 5 years before the Battle of Yavin. And so that, so Obi-Wan has already happened. So like if you're looking in chronological order, so Obi-Wan has already happened. Ben's already fought Vader and everything. So now we're a little bit farther. So Roken, we have no idea what happened to him or any of those guys. But now we're also getting flashbacks. So now we got all of past Cassian. So that we're just going to keep going back in time to play into current. And that's just how they're going to keep going. Cause it seemed really strange. Like I wasn't really sure. Cause they really made it seem like it was going to be segmented, but it seems like Luthen and Cassian, so Luthen is what's going to get Cassian into the rebellion. Like he is the door. He is who opens up the whole possibility of Cassian going and fighting against the Empire. But it's constantly, we're getting the Cassian backstory while we're also getting pushed into Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the kind of, I don't know how they're going to continue telling that story for two seasons. It's interesting.
The potential for it is there because they have a long way to go when it comes to the story they have to tell. We know the story they have to tell. It's not like it's this foreign story. I almost felt, this is a weird thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it. I almost felt like it didn't feel like Star Wars. It felt like another sci-fi adventure.
Yeah.
And the only things anchoring it were Cassian,
yeah,
and B.
Oh my god, okay, B is so cool. B2 emo. B2 emo, yes. EMO is his name, and I freaking love him so much. My new favorite robot. They keep on getting better. I feel like every new iteration of like a Star Wars story, we get better and better droids, which is fantastic. I think you're right. Like, there wasn't really a lot in this show other than a few, like, alien races that we've seen before. But a lot of the alien races were new to me. Things that just did not look familiar. And there was a lot of humans. There was a lot of humanoids, which was very interesting as well.
We get a
lot of new planets, which there's a lot of new. There's a lot of new planets. There's a lot of new, just a lot of new, which is cool because it feels like in a lot of Star Wars stories, it's a lot of recycled content that is put back in because it continues to make it feel familiar, right? But at the same time, at what point is it too much? Like when have we seen the same thing over and over again? So I really appreciate that. And when I was watching this, a lot of it comes down to the lens that they shot this through. It's very grainy. It's very gritty. It's dark. The colors are dark and dreary. It doesn't feel like Star Wars for the most part, because Star Wars always is very vibrant and it's shiny and all this stuff. But this was all this, even a lot of the, what is this planet? The first planet, Kevin, with the,
I'm trying to remember the name of it.
It's like whatever that planet is. That felt very imperialistic. It felt very almost like Nazi Germany to a certain degree.
Reminded me of what were they called in the Old Republic? There was this corporation, Circa Corporation, that like ruled all these planets. They controlled all this mining. Well,
that's essentially how these guys came across.
That was the vibe I got from them. So that was
the guards are called corpos. I had the subtitles on just so I could try to like figure out everybody's names and what they were called. I think they're called corpos. So like a part of a corporation, because everybody was when he walked into the brothel and he was like, no credits. So you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't pay for the sex. And everybody's an employee of that planet. And there's different planets. Well, it seems like the way they were setting up the structures that each planet has a number.
Morlana 1 was the name of this planet. So it seemed like a red light district situation with those bubbles when you were walking in. It seemed like there were droids in there. Like, it seemed like whatever your taste was.
Yeah, it was wild.
I love that they constantly allude to the fact that people fuck droids in Star Wars. You realize that, right?
Uh-huh. Well, yes.
Lando and so it's a little interesting. So it was like a red light district. So my whole thing with that was they were trying to be, I don't say edgy, that's not the right word, but they were trying to show you
the dark
side of the universe right off the bat.
Which is great. We need more of that.
I actually thought it was Corellia with the way the walkway was set up, because it looked like the walkway from Solo, and then the one that you drive down, or I thought it could have been where Ezra's from. I forget the name of the planet.
Lothal.
Lothal also has one of those long runways, but this was completely new. So I don't think it was free, because in the next scene with the little douchebaggy corporate guy and his boss, when the boss was like, just cover it up, tell him it was an accident, he mentions that the brothel was expensive and they probably shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right. Well, then what was he saying for no credit? It was weird. Like, but I had a hard time understanding like the structure of that planet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so cool. Like, and so like you've made me curious about a new place. And so now we have an entire new opportunity to tell a story around that place, which is cool.
And then we're getting flashbacks too, though. It seems like he lived in this like Lord of the Flies community.
Yeah. So that was really
on this abandoned Imperial mining planet. I forget what the name of it was. Sorry, with K.
Well, yeah. So at that point, so it wasn't Imperial, it was Republic. So the Republic had come.
Republic,
in.
Yes. Sorry.
So either the Republic was mining that facility, that planet to the ground, or it was the. It could have been the Separatists.
Well, they said the Republic is coming after the ship crashed.
Yeah, but that ship just crashed there. I don't think they had anything to do with actually going to that planet. So I'm still trying to figure out what happened to that planet. Because in Catalyst, that would have made sense because of the Empire, but it's too far in the past at that point. So I mean, like Cassian was a kid, so that's probably 10, 15 years in the past. So the Republic was. Well, damn.
No, because the Empire hasn't been around that long.
I guess it could have been at the beginning of the Empire.
I'm trying to find the name of the planet. It started with a K. What was it?
He said it many times. How?
Especially towards the end when they were looking for him. I'm trying to find when he talks to the lady of the
house. You know what? I had this great idea of having a notepad, but I was up at 5 a.m. and I was like, do I really want to turn the lights on and have the TV on?
Yeah, I had a blanket over me and like it was a whole thing. I wasn't getting a notepad out. My phone was all the way over there. So I couldn't get up and get it. It would be too much. I did write down booty calls, brothels, and swearing for the opening because that was perfect.
I had this grand idea. I was like, oh, I'm going to get up and I'll turn my camera on. I'm going to do a watch party, like record it, and then I can upload it and Paul will love it. And I just like, I woke up and I was like, this is a stupid idea. I'm just going to go sit in the couch.
No. Anyway, so it might have been a Separatist. They say at one point it was an Imperial mining facility that was abandoned, though.
Yeah.
So maybe because Republic came to Imperial, it's all the same thing at the end of the day. I'm not really sure in that one. Also, they were yellow. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that, too. There was some type of toxic gas that was coming out of that ship.
Saw that.
When the kids were walking down and they had like. Some of them had the gas masks, but it didn't seem like they were all able to get it on. So they're when the door opened up, you could see all this like yellow gas kind of coming out, and it seemed like that's what changed their skin, because those were just Republic officers, and they were all humanoid, so they weren't yellow skinned. I think the gas turned their skin yellow. I think that ship was attacked by pirates,
like Hondo.
That would be so fucking cool.
Hello, Cassian.
That would be so dope.
He would be so out of place in the show, though.
Oh, very much so.
He's comic relief. That's all he ever is, except when you first meet him in Clone Wars. But aside from that, he's just comic relief.
In Clone Wars, he's a dick.
But he's a funny dick.
It's true.
My Obi-Wan, my friend. So Kenari. Yeah, it's Kenari. Thank you.
There we go.
So
thank you, Wikipedia. They've already have it updated.
And his adopted mother.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Dursley from Harry Potter. She got old.
She's like hiding it. And I'm trying to figure out why. And I'm sure they'll get more context to that, because she seems like dead set on the fact that like no one should know he's from that planet.
Yeah, I think there's more about Kenari than really what meets the eye. And his sister seems to be like a big part of this as well. And so he hasn't seen her since he was a little kid when he left her to go on that little mission.
Right. And apparently she worked in that brothel that we saw in the beginning. Maybe, we think. Potentially. We're not sure.
But yeah, I think Kenari is going to be pretty important. They always said that he was from Fest, which I thought was
And Fest is a canon planet. It's over by Dantooine. So that was like one of the only things from the episode that was recognizable as a place that we know from other material. Everything else was pretty much new.
Yeah.
Even the droids were new. Interesting.
Like everything was new. It was so good. Art. The one thing that I thought was a clone dropship wasn't a dropship. It was from the little security guards. Those little drop pods.
What's the name of the planet he's on now? Ferrix? Is that what it's called?
He's on Ferrix right now, yeah.
So Ferrix seems to be under the control of this corporation, but the corporation seems to be like, govern yourself, deal with yourself. We don't want any part of it. We're going to say we own you, and they probably collect taxes.
They probably taxate the planet or something. But so that entire planet seems to be just like a salvage yard. It seems like all they do
self-sufficient.
Is just one big junkyard, and that's all they do.
A blue-collar planet where people just have jobs, work, drink, enjoy life, and exist.
Yeah.
The Andor seems to have followed in his mother's footsteps and is, you know, somewhat of a... What's the word I'm looking for? He's working the system, but he owes people money. Yeah, he owes people money. All of this stuff.
I really like how he's constantly lying, and you can always tell when he's lying. But like it's done in such a way where he like the conversation between the two people is believable, but you can see that he's really struggling with this idea of always trying to keep the lies and trying to remember all the things that he has to say. And like that, mm-hmm. I really liked that. It didn't just feel like normal dialogue. Like it really felt like he was struggling with all of these things that he had to like keep up with and trying to keep everybody happy and trying to like keep his ass safe. Like it was well done. The acting's phenomenal.
This little asshole from corporate, whatever they were called. I can't find his name anywhere. They mentioned it once in passing. He's such a, like, he's that guy. I don't know if you've never really worked in a corporate environment. He is the guy that everybody can't stand because they will kiss ass and do whatever they need to and step on whoever they need to get to the top. Now, the older gentleman, who I love that actor, by the way, that is his boss, was basically saying, like, this is the best way to handle the situation, given the dynamics, given it, like, make it look like an accident. They shouldn't have been at that brothel in the first place. They shouldn't have been drinking because they were on duty. Like, all of this stuff.
Yep.
And he's 100% correct. And now, look at, he was like, oh, no, I'm going
to
show him.
Yeah,
and now how many of them
follow the rules, dude.
Now, how many of them are dead because of all of this? Also, Cassian shooting the one guy point blank was the most un-Star Wars thing ever.
Dude, we opened up with an assassination in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was very not like Star Wars. So again, the darker tone.
Right in the forehead. That was wild.
I thought he was going to pistol whip him and walk away.
Shot him right in the face. Honestly, I think that was as dark as seeing someone's head get lobbed off. But honestly, I think it's darker because usually when a stormtrooper gets its head lobbed off, the head doesn't fall out of the helmet. It's just the helmet.
No, they keep the helmet rolling, and we never see any.
But I mean,
anything.
Like, I mean, you saw him put the gun to his forehead, and you hear the body slump over. Like it was rough. It was dark.
Yeah. So
honestly, the way they filmed this remind me of like a Saving Private Ryan almost kind of like vibe. Like it had like this wartime kind of movie vibe to it. And I really liked that. Just felt it felt like one of those like just action adventure war movies. Like a U-571 or like Saving Private Ryan. I keep on getting that vibe.
This Imperial transponder he has, is that something he got from his mother, you think?
Okay, so no, he literally tells him what he does. He says there's
when he says I walk in and no one notices. I didn't know if he was just saying that
I think
this is how I get what I get.
We also see a flashback in the trailer of him getting putting on an Imperial suit and whatnot. I wonder if that is going to be him telling the story of what he did to get it. Because Luthen keeps on asking him, how did you get it? How did you get it? Because he knows that he is when Bex told Luthen what he had, he immediately wanted to come. He immediately wanted to come see Cassian. And because he knew something like that, there's no fucking way that anyone could have actually gotten that unless it was legit. And if someone legitimately got it, that means that they are one of the best. And that's the whole thing. It was really funny is that he said it like it was no big deal. He was like, what do you mean? It's so easy. You just put a uniform on, you pretend like you belong there, and you're good. You take a tool. All you need is some tools. And they don't care.
I like the way he says it because he says they're so proud of themselves and they're basically fat.
Yeah, he said they're so fat. Yeah, so fat and happy.
Yeah, no, that was a great way.
And he's right. Look at all the Moffs and all of the admirals. They're all just sitting in their high towers, trying to.
That's why Vader's different because he doesn't fit in with them. He doesn't act like that.
No,
he's different.
That's also why Thrawn never fit in. Thrawn never liked to play politics.
No, Thrawn was always out doing something or figuring something out.
That's why all of the upper officers never liked him around. They wanted to continuously get him out.
But then you see what happens when you stay fat and happy. Look at Krennic and Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
The constant little bickering and, oh, you did well on this project. It's mine now. Yeah. And I'm going to take full credit for it. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't work for most of them.
Stand here upon my achievements.
Oh, it's such a good scene.
Literally just watched Rogue One not too long ago. So.
I wonder if we'll see Krennic in the show.
That'd be interesting. I don't know why we would. It has nothing to do with the story.
Or Galen.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the story.
Isn't that the Death Star in the opening credits, though?
No.
The big orb is not the Death Star?
I thought it was a planet.
It says Andor? It could be.
I thought it was Tatooine, not going to lie.
Not kidding. Everything is Tatooine.
I thought it was Tatooine. I saw sand.
Sand Tatooine.
It looked like the Dune planet.
I went to Tatooine this weekend. What? The beach.
There was sand. It was everywhere.
Do Bix? You think Bix and him have a little history there?
Dude. Yeah. Oh, 100%, dude. They were totally banging at some point. Tim's a jealous motherfucker.
Oh, Tim with two M's. M's.
Dude, Tim with two M's. I felt so represented then so quickly not.
Is that the guy you want to represent you?
Not anymore. He had a cool Scottish accent and everything, and then he went tattletailing on Cassian, and I hated him.
Yeah, that was. I didn't expect him to die so quick.
I didn't either. I thought we'd get him for a couple episodes, but it was kind of on Bex. She was really hiding that when she didn't have to, but I think she wanted to keep Tim safe. She didn't want him to be in danger because she really loved him.
Mm-hmm.
When he came, so here's the whole thing. She comes over, right? After she's like, I have to go run some errands. And then she comes back and they do the deed and he's still upset.
Mm-hmm.
What? My dude, he should have just been chill. I can't believe we almost had a sex scene, Kevin, in Star Wars.
Well, the sex was implied.
Most definitely. She took her jacket off and she sat on the side of the bed. And then she wakes up in that bed with no pants on.
No pants on. So, yeah, we got that. That's why I said it was a booty call, too. It wasn't
No, she wanted to come over to make sure that he knew that she was good and they were good.
Right. She was booty calling him.
That wasn't a booty call. She loved him.
A reverse booty call.
She loved him. You see how distraught she was?
I wouldn't say love.
Oh, she definitely loved Tim.
I don't know. I think you're just saying that because it's Tim with two M's.
Did you see how sad she was? She's handcuffed to a wall. She just looks so distraught.
I mean, if, someone I was hooking up with got murdered right in front of me by the authorities, I'd be pretty upset,
but
too.
Wouldn't say that about a booty call. She's like, oh, no. She was sad.
I guess, Tim. I wouldn't say she loved him, though. I don't think that was
rest
where they were.
Rest in peace, Tim.
She was also pissed.
He'll be missed. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He really messed up.
Because he... way to blow your cover. Just walk up to her and interject yourself into a conversation with two people whispering. And be like, don't do it. What? How do you know what the hell we're talking about? So bad at being stealthy. Like, the night before, all right, you were drunk, you made a mistake, you decided to do it because you were jealous. All right, we get it. But the next morning, dude, deny everything. Everything.
Just say you want to go on a vacation.
Yeah, man.
Disney World, come on.
You got a good thing going with the booty calls. Like, don't. Just don't get involved anymore. You did your thing. You were drunk. We get it. You made a mistake. Leave it alone. Walk away. If anything, it's going to get better because you got him out of the picture.
So what do you think of Luthen? So like that's my biggest question mark right now. Like I think Cassian's adopted mom, Marin,
Maeva, Marin,
Maven,
Mulva,
her. Mrs. Dursley.
They don't have character names yet on IMDb, or else I'd be pulling them right off of there.
Aunt Petunia. I don't think she's going to be a critical role. I think Bex is going to continue to be like a big role up until a certain point. I think she'll either die or she'll get shipped off somewhere.
I think mom will be in the flashbacks. I think we'll see more of dad before he dies. I think we will see a flashback of dad dying.
Yeah. So Luthen knows so much about him too. So I'm really curious. He knows how his dad died. So we already got that set up. Dad gets hung out in the square for doing something.
Luthen is 157% working with Mon Mothma. Like,
oh, most definitely. No, he's definitely in there.
That's where he's getting his info
from. I think he's a double agent.
Oh, you think he's in?
I think he's an ISB agent.
Nah.
We get that in Aftermath. Why wouldn't we get it again? Come on. That's so good. What if he, okay, so hear me out. He's got an Imperial, his ship feels very Imperial. Feels like it has like the cockpit of a TIE fighter.
He's like a rich guy. You know that, right?
I know,
like,
that's what I'm saying though. That's what I'm saying. I think he comes from the core planet. He comes from a core planet that's under Imperial ruling, and he is either an upper, like a higher upper echelon person that has like government connections, or he's someone in the ISB.
I just think he's a black market person helping out the rebellion. That's my.
I really want a double agent so badly.
You could get one, but I don't think it's going to be him. Also, if there's going to be double agents, it's going to be them tricking the Empire. Like, that's
what I'm
framing
saying.
Of the show.
Like, right. He's for the Resistance, but the Empire thinks that he's working with the Empire.
Oh, yeah, that's completely plausible.
That's what
I thought you were saying
the other way around. No. He is with Mon Mothma, but Mothma's like, she knew him, and he's got, like, these government connections. I think he's someone up there. I think he's of great importance.
I could see him being an ISB agent that is working with the rebels. I could see that. That I could see.
Yeah, he definitely has some type of Imperial tie. I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah,
his like walking stick was like a lightsaber. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I want one of those.
That was so sick.
Yeah, I want a retractable cane.
Puts it in his coat. Awesome.
He's definitely
really
gonna.
Cool. He has these like slap charges. He's like, oh, I primed the doors. I'm like, what the fuck? Who are you?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, that's why I think
he's an ISB agent, because like ISB agents are trained to do shit like that. They're essentially like they're CIA agents.
Would you take an over under bet that he's gonna kneecap someone with that cane at some point during the show?
Oh, most definitely. He already blew people up. Why wouldn't he hit somebody across the knee with it? Totally blow a leg out.
That car bomb was the best.
Oh, I totally saw that coming.
Oh, no, I saw it coming. Didn't make it any less. I was like, the crash is a distraction. I did not see the bomb on the car.
I'm surprised they didn't see that coming. But at the same time, you have to remember that like, these are like especially the heavy set Scottish guy. He's all muscle, no brains. He is like your full on like Marine sergeant who's just like, yes, sir. He is sucking off that guy so hard, too. Oh, my. The guy gives the shittiest speech in the world. Well done, sir. Greatly done. It's just like, oh, shut up.
How do you think the chief inspector is going to react? Because probably the next episode is when he gets back from his imperial meeting.
Yeah, and all those guys are beat up and bruised, and they're having funerals for all the dead soldiers.
Because there's like four or five of them dead, and it was two. He's probably going to say something along the line, see what happens. Like, it was only two, and now there's seven or something like that.
Ridiculous. That whole fight scene in the warehouse with like the big chain thing swinging around and whatnot, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I love that we can have really good action fight scenes in Star Wars without a lightsaber.
I want to watch it again because I was having trouble like correlating what they were shooting to, you know, how it was moving, but it was well thought out because everything had a purpose. You know,
they were all just shoot that, all that happens for engines and stuff. It was just like a big garage full of hoists.
Yeah, so
they were just shooting the apparatus to just make them fly around. At one point, Cassian gets hit by a crank or like a hook.
Yeah, he got bruised,
bropped across the face. It was so much fun. And again, like there was no use of the Force. There was no lightsaber. It was just good.
We're not going to see any of that in this show.
Yeah,
which is good. I don't want to say complaint because it's not a complaint because with these things, especially when you're introducing all of this new stuff, my theory is this, is you have to wait until the complete picture is out before you really start to judge what it is.
Yep.
Because so many times people watch two episodes of a show and they go, this isn't for me. This is bullshit. Mm-hmm. What I do understand and what I have friends doing Rings of Power is like, I'm not into this. What I'm going to do is wait till they're all out and then binge because I feel like I'll enjoy it more. Cool. Do that. That's smart because, you know, and I feel the same way because this is what happened with Mandalorian. Remember, we were all like, I don't know about this show. Like, this is cool. But where are they going with this?
Yeah.
And that's how I'm feeling with Andor. It's like, where is this going? I know where it has to end. I just want to understand the journey. But I feel like we need a complete picture, and I'm not going to get that complete picture for another 9 weeks, which is okay. I'm totally fine with that. So I'm withholding all judgment. So if you hear me say something that's like somewhat negative, it's not necessarily that I'm not enjoying it. It's that I'm still, the jury's still out on that. I will say again, though, the pacing was way off, and they should have just made it one episode. That I'll stand by.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I mean, like, the first two, it was slow. By the end of the third, I was like, yeah, this is cool.
That's the price of world building, though, and people don't want to accept that. Like, no, they want to dive in and get their dicks wet immediately. It's like, no, you have to prime. There needs to be foreplay. Mm-hmm. I love this metaphor. I did not expect to do this going in, but we're
so
going
much
with
sex
it.
For this episode. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's racy, it's hot, no pants.
Out of brothels.
Hey, red light district. You want to bang a droid? Hey, that's my point, buddy. Though. It Han, perfect. He's the if anyone should be involved in the darker side of sexual Star Wars,
yep,
he better show up and just have it be Billy Dee Williams with no context.
Like, he's not playing as
why is
Lando
he so
either.
Old?
It's just Billy Dee.
So, but that's it. Is I think we really need to have patience. Not just with Andor, but with shows in general where they're starting off. And, you know, they're like, why are we world building in Star Wars? It's the same as that first High Republic book. You are so overwhelmed with the newness of this thing that you know. It's a lot to take in and it's a lot to accept. And I think that's what we're experiencing with Andor is it's just like everything's new except for a few minor things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. So I'm interested in his history, really. I want to learn more about the planet. You know, essentially that's what it seemed to be. Like it was just a bunch of Lord of the Flies in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of kids just kind of just fending for themselves, which is really, really interesting.
And that one girl seemed to be the leader, the one who ended up dying.
Yeah. Also, I don't understand blasters in Star Wars.
Also, I don't understand why
she got shot in the back on the shoulder. How did that kill her?
Maybe it was less the shoulder and more in this area.
Again, it's like I don't understand how lasers in Star Wars work.
I'll say this, I don't know why the kids waited until she got shot to attack. Like the second that guy stood up and pointed, shouldn't they have been like Because I was like, is anyone going to warn her? No, we're just going to... Oh, she's dead.
And also... So I want to know more about the ship, too.
There's like, something to that.
There's something about the ship. And then also the Maeva. What were they doing there? Were they the ones that attacked the ship? But they were also talking about the gas. Like, they didn't know what it was. So I'm still...
I think
like, there's a lot of questions.
I think the parents are just scrappers. Like,
yeah, but were they already on the planet or were they following that ship?
They seem to be either following it or got a notification that it crashed because dad was literally with B.
Oh,
with
do you think they put like an SOS out and they were just...
Something, because dad was literally like the Republic asking B, like, where are they now? They're in orbit. Where are they now? They're closing in. Like, we have 9 minutes. It's a 12-minute walk. Like, they were tracking...
Get more of those heists?
I mean, that's the show, in my opinion, yes. No?
I'm excited about that.
Like, that's the show. Like, it's Mission Impossible in Star Wars. That's the show. Is sneaking around and doing exactly what Cassian said in the scene that we like. You know, like, they're so full of themselves. All you got to do is walk in with a uniform and, what do you say, a couple...
just, like, some comms. Tools and act like you belong there.
Yep, that's it. I love that. It's so cool. Uh-huh. So I think they're setting up for really, really good stuff. I think the pushback that a lot of people are going to have is the pacing. I think that's going to be the biggest complaint is the pacing. Yeah. You know, at this point, I can pinpoint in all of these shows that we're watching what people are going to push back on. Rings of Power, everyone's upset that the timeline is condensed. And I'm like, cool. You want a show that spans 4,000 years that has entire seasons of Galadriel telling riddles in a forest? Because that sounds boring as hell. and then, you know, with House of the Dragon, they're like, oh, the characters aren't acting the same way. I'm like, oh, my God, Martin's an executive producer on the show making these decisions. Stop. So with Andor, it's like, just wait it out. You all did this with Mandalorian. The first season of Mandalorian, the first few episodes, everybody was all up in arms like, I don't know about this. I don't know. And then that was one of those popular TV shows, period, end of sentence.
Because it wasn't good. Like, everybody wasn't happy with the show until the season finale. Like,
exactly, because the full finale, picture.
Right, exactly. They got the entire show, and you could watch the entire thing all over again. You're like, oh, I understand now. I get it. It makes sense.
Paul's asking if we'll see Saw Gerrera in this. He was in the trailer, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
I think he's in one of the trailers for this.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah,
why would
if you're gonna do shady shit for the rebellion, that's your guy.
Lies, deceptions,
blow it all up. Borgullet. Does that mean we'll see Borgullet again?
Oh God, that's so fucking creepy.
I love that thing. You're like Robear now with the.
One day I will do voice acting for something. It'll happen.
Paul has a technical answer for your blaster bolts in chat. He said, because blaster bolts are technically... He's the producer. He's looking up the answers. I appreciate it. Because blaster bolts are technically plasma that's been contained with magnetic and electric fields. The heat expansion in the body due to the expansion of gases and the electroshock of the system kills your nervous system and synapses while also melting through you with plasma.
Yeah, how the hell are you going to have a magnetic containment field that's going to move at the speed of light?
Are you questioning?
I'm just asking.
A universe with space wizards.
Or a sub speed of light. It's right under the speed of light. It's moving at almost the speed of light.
Space wizards, Tim.
It's a laser beam. It's a laser beam.
So Paul said, Tim, it's not the speed of light. It's plasma, not light. This is getting good.
It's a laser bolt.
I'm like the voice of producer Paul. Sauron beat me to tell you.
Anyways.
So, okay. He got in the ship with Luthen. He was also, like, taken aback by how cool the ship was. Did you notice he stopped running for a second and be like, oh, this is a nice ship you have here. And I'm like, get in the damn ship!
At the end? No, that's what I'm saying. It's a very, like, it's really nice. It has a very, like TIE fighter kind of feel to it. It looks like a TIE interceptor. That like in the way that like, it lifts up and the wings come down and whatnot, like, yeah, it just like had like this stealth cruiser kind of look to it. It looks like something out of like Star Citizen.
One question I have for you with Luthen. He seemed to know because when he went to Bix, he said to Bix, you know, they're not after him yet. They don't know who it is. They just know it's someone from Canary.
Yeah.
Then when he got to the warehouse, he knew they were on his trail.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, do you have the comm on you? Or what do you have on you? And he's like,
yeah,
do you have a comm?
Because he had like a radio, because he had the exact same tool that they were using to get his frequency to find him.
So again, so that might be your ISB clue that he's got the tools to.
That's what I'm saying, track. Dude. He's got his tool set, his knowledge, his skills just continuously point to him being of special training. He has a military background. He did something for the Republic. He was definitely working with the Republic. It's, you know, in doing spec ops. Mm-hmm. And then I think when the Empire takes over, he works for the ISB and he works his way up through the ranks. And now he sits at the top or near the top, you know, not too high where it's suspicious, but just high enough to where he has the clearance.
Right.
So that's where I think he's at. And I think when he worked for the, so this is my idea of Luthen and how I picture him and hopefully I'm right. I think he worked for the Republic and he believed in the mission. I think he believed in the Republic. He loved everything about it and he took pride. And then old Palpy comes through and he sees all the bad that the Empire is doing, or maybe he believes in the mission in the beginning of with the Empire. And just like everybody else, they start to recognize that, oh, this motherfucker's corrupted. This isn't looking good for us. We need to do something, you know, i.e. the deleted scene from episode 3, right? You know, the spark of the rebellion, you know, that's kind of that turning point. And I think Luthen has that moment as well of like, aha, I need to do something.
Well, I mean, we see because we met Loken, so we saw the early rebellion a few years back. At this point, it seems that it's still in formation.
So the path. Remember this? They were working on the path. So potentially, he found the path.
And the way they locked that city down and had the ability to notify everyone in the city pretty quickly what was happening.
I love that.
That has rebel written all over it to me. Like,
definitely. They have a system in place. When I loved when she said, it's a reckoning. He's like, what is that? She's like, it's a reckoning. It's like,
oh, he was terrified. She's like, you should be worried when the sound stops. And I was like,
what happens when it stops? And she doesn't answer him. It was so
she
good.
Just rocking in her chair, hanging out with the droid. I felt bad for the droid because he had the stutter like D2 from episode 9. And usually that happens when droids are abused.
No, so. He's not that he's abused. It's his power supply. He doesn't have
a, he needed the extra power to lie was one of my favorite.
Yeah,
parts.
It's because his batteries are bad. He has a bad power supply, and that's why he just like died in the middle of all of that, because he can't do it. Poor little guy. I love him.
I know.
I love that his name is B2 Emo.
I hope he's back in future episodes.
If he's not a part of the entirety of the show, I'm going to be very upset, because I really like him.
Judging by Star Wars themes, every show gets its own droids. Everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Everybody gets a droid.
Every show gets its own droid, not everybody. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody gets their own
droid.
Kevin, you get a droid. I get a droid.
What would be your perfect droid?
I mean, like, Chopper's really cool.
I like, Paul just said it, K2.
K2's too, I don't know, man. He's kind of like I feel like he's the kind of guy that could turn on you. Like, if you just piss him off a little too much, he might just turn on you.
No, it's a hacked, like, K2, the way K2 is hacked.
That's what I'm saying, though. But I mean, like, he's got his own thing going on.
I just like how honest he is with everyone.
I feel like if you pissed him off, he'd rip your arm off.
It's a Wookiee would do that too.
I that's why I would not have a Wookiee as a friend.
You wouldn't have a Wookiee.
Oh no.
Tim, that's speciest of you.
Oh geez, here we go.
Why would you want a Wookiee? They're amazing.
They could rip your arms off.
Not if they owe you a life debt.
Yeah, but then you have to. Okay, so that's the whole thing, though, is you have to find a Wookiee that's in danger so you can get a life debt out of them.
Just go to Kashyyyk. They're always in trouble.
Ridiculous. Anyway, so, all right. So, first three episodes, Andor done. Overall, what do you rate it so far?
Again, jury's out for me. I got to see the full picture. I didn't hate the pacing, but I didn't like the pacing. I wish it was just one long story for episode 1. you know, I did like the seeing the darker side of Star Wars. I can't decide if they're doing that on purpose or if it organically fits into the story yet. So I'm a little cloudy there. But I do like where we're headed. But I need, as a lore buff, I need more context to a lot of what's going on, because I don't know about these worlds. I don't know about this corporation. I don't know, you know, all of this stuff. But I have 9 episodes to get those answers. And if at the end of that I'm still confused, I will bring that up again in the finale discussion. So I'm like, right now I'm like a 6 or 7 out of 10 and waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's fair. There's definitely a lot of questions that I have. Like, are we going to come back to Ferrix? You know, is Bex going to be, you know, a part of the story, or is this going to be more of just like Cassian and Luthen off on adventures? I do think the corporation is going to be the antagonist for this season, because they are an extension of the Empire. So in of themselves, they, like, you are kind of like fighting the bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm right there with you. I think I'm like 7 out of 10 right now. Like, I really like it. If I was to give like each, my favorite was 3. There's the third episode.
Yeah.
So I think naturally, that one for me was probably like 9 out of 10. I really, really liked that episode. That was probably my favorite out of the 3. The first two, they're slow. You know, if that was just one episode that was just a little bit longer, I think I would have really, really liked that. But like overall, I really like the direction we're going. I really enjoy the lens and just the overall vibe of the show. It's dark. I really like dark Star Wars. It fits. And I think it's just because like I've grown up so much around like the happy go lucky, like Star Wars, like good versus evil. But now this kind of like really like this blends the lines. It muddles it all up. Right. Cause I mean, like Cassian's kind of he's just like chaotic neutral. He's kind of just like in it for himself. He's an anti-hero. Kind of like right now, he's kind of just like, I'm doing my thing. Like, I'm not bad. I'm not good. I'm just like, I'm assassinating one guy and I'm helping my ex-girlfriend. Like, I mean, like
I've done terrible things in the name of the rebellion.
Yeah, but he did terrible things in the name of finding his sister. I mean, like, he freaking shot a guy point blank.
I have a feeling that he's going to be doing this for the money at first, and then something's going to happen with his sister that involves the Empire, and that's going to be his turning point.
That'll be his turning point? Interesting. Yep.
Where he's like, all in, screw the Empire, I'm bringing them down, you know, I'll do whatever it takes.
You think something like really, really bad happens to her?
I mean, within the confines of Star Wars, it's not like Westeros bad, but sure, something bad.
Okay, so not like a Red Wedding kind of thing.
Yeah, you didn't watch the new episode yet, did you?
I haven't. Oh, no, I haven't seen the new episode.
Ah, you get another wedding, Tim, so enjoy. Oh, fuck. A good old-fashioned Westerosi wedding.
Oh, man, people die, don't they?
Not saying a word, but it's a good old-fashioned Westerosi wedding.
Oh, boy. Not a pregnant woman this time, is there?
It's a good old-fashioned Westerosi wedding. Oh, I am giving you zero context. I just want you to go in knowing there's a wedding in Westeros. See you again. I mean, that's Westeros. But yeah, so I think something will happen with her that's going to trigger his want to do more with the rebellion.
Yeah.
Because by the time we meet him, he's all in on anti-Empire, like in Rogue One. Like, he's at the point where he's like, I will do anything to bring down the Empire at this point. So we'll see. We might see some of these, because we know we're going to see Saw Gerrera. We might see some of these other characters being introduced that we know from Rogue One, simply because it's going to build up to the plans for the Death Star at some point, especially in season 2.
Yeah.
It's going to build up. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he knew who Galen Erso was prior to him meeting his daughter. Met him, but known of him and what his responsibility was. Because what he did to build the Death Star.
He did. Okay. Have you read Catalyst?
No, I haven't read Catalyst. Okay, I know build it, but I know.
You need to know Galen's backstory. That's all I'm going to say for that. Because, like,
I know he was doing it as a fusion, like, power source, not because they had each person building a different part and not telling them what it was for. I know that part.
Yeah, so like I don't think the whole thing of Galen, I don't think that that's going to happen until when he gets taken from his backwater planet and then moved off, I think that's when people start learning of him. Because again, he says I had to make myself indispensable. I had to lie. I had to live the lie. So he starts telling everybody how important he is. And so that's how the rebellion gets word of him, because he made himself seem like he was so indispensable. He was the most important person on that project. So like, I think that's when they start hearing about Galen. I don't think there's going to be any type of, there's going to be no connection to Galen or like anything from Rogue One in that part. I think it's going to be Cassian's own story, and it's going to give us more insight into the spark of the rebellion, into like, you know, Hot Mommy Mothma is going to show up at some point real soon. You know, she's going to be there. And so like, she's going to be the one to like, you know, really set the tone for all of that and like start bringing the council together. Right. Because there's individual people that are part of the council that make up the rebellion. So for us to see Senator Organa again, to get Bail, most definitely we will 100% probably see a de-aged Bail Organa. Well, no, I guess it would be the normal Bail that we saw during Obi-Wan. So like, he would just be a couple years older. So we'll get the normal, like the Bail that we just saw in Obi-Wan. You know, that makes perfect sense. You know, I went back and watched Rogue One a couple days ago, and he's in there for just a quick moment. He steps up to the council table, and Jyn sees him, and that's what kind of like sets her on her path. But you know, they've kind of like already set that up. So if anything, though, they'll probably just give more backstory to a lot of that. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, I can see it that way, too. I don't think you're far off. Well, we have another week to wait to see more of Cassian Andor and his adventures. 9 weeks in total, to be honest. 9 more weeks.
There's no breaks at all.
For Cassian, it's 12 episodes. Yeah. So we got 9 weeks of Cassian, and then
what do we go into right after that?
Bad Batch is in January.
Then that means Bad Batch and Mandalorian are...
No, they don't overlap. They're like right on top of each other, but they don't right.
But I thought Mandalorian is February 23rd.
It is. January 4th is Bad Batch.
And how many episodes of Bad Batch are we getting?
Oh, we also have Tales of the Jedi. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that comes out before Bad Batch, right? Doesn't it that come out in December?
Tales of the Jedi is... Hold on.
Oh my God, we're going to have Jedi. So much Star Wars for the next like 5 months.
So Tales of the Jedi is October 26th, which means it will
Holy
be
crap.
Released at the same time as Andor. And then Mandalorian is supposed to be February season 3.
Paul says Mando's internal sources say they're running behind on post production. Oh man, they're going to push it back. Watch, we're not we'll going to get watch, we're not I mean, going to get Mando this... until like April.
No, they did this with Andor. Remember, it was supposed to come out last month.
Oh, that's true.
It's not like
I figured that post-production was a timing is like thing. A month. I thought they didn't want to compete against the release of I think House that was of Dragons the, and
I think Rings the excuse was post-production.
Yeah, that's bullshit. So what else is coming out in the beginning of next year that could have forced their hand? Is there
Bad Batch.
Marvel? Is there any Marvel shows or movies or I would say shows that are coming out? That's the only reason why I would think that they would move Star Wars around is for Marvel, because they have to keep to a certain cadence for the movies.
Werewolf is in 2 weeks. Wakanda's in November. Guardians have holiday special. What If is early 2023.
There it is.
Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania is February 17th.
There it is.
Secret Invasion is Q1.
Secret
Echoes Q3.
Oh my God. There's
Guardians
so much.
Is Q2. Loki is Q3.
Yeah, so
Marvel's is Q3.
So I bet
X-Men
you,
is Q3.
I bet you they move Mando because of Ant-Man and Wasp, because that's going to be a show, right?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Oh, then they would just release What If on one day and then they would do Andor on another. Interesting.
What if would probably be on top of Bad Batch because, again,
yeah, they're just animated shorts, and like it's not like a big thing. I mean, it's big, but I mean, it's not like it's a fun watch. It's not like critical to your world building experience.
We'll see. Well, the other cool thing is we're going to give you opportunity to talk more about this in depth. So when the episode releases, I will be live every week for Star Wars and Scotch Game Night. We're going to be doing SWOTOR. I believe Ben is joining me tonight. We'll be live on Facebook and YouTube on the Star Wars and Scotch channels, right, Paul? Just making sure before I open my flap that's where we'll be. Yep, on the Star Wars and Scotch channels. So we will be chit-chatting about Andor episode and talking more in depth. I will mark it with spoilers so folks know if they didn't watch it yet, but we can talk. But yeah, I'll be playing SWOTOR. I'm going to see if Ben will bring Darth Chungus out tonight. And I'll grab one of my 17 characters that I have and join Darth Chungus on his adventure. We got that going on. We got Rings of Power D&D on Tuesdays. We left off last night with 12 wargs on a ridge after Tim and I and the group. Well, actually, I'm the only one who hasn't got a kill yet. I'm just getting the shit kicked out of me while everyone else gets
kicked out of you, bear guy.
I did knock down the behemoth, though. I was pretty proud of that. So I believe we're trying to be back next Tuesday. Robert was unsure of his schedule, but if not, there's at least four more episodes, if not at least three more episodes, if not four, to come of that on Tuesday evenings. And then on Thursdays, we'll be doing Rings of Power watch parties Thursday mornings to go over the episode and take a gander before the new one drops. And then, as usual, every day, Tim is live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. ish Eastern, fb.gg/darkness429 and darkness.
That's me.
Everywhere else on the internet, you can follow us. We're Star Wars and Scotch everywhere on the internet. You could tag me if you want in your Twitter. I don't really read Twitter anymore, but it's Kevin X Vision, KMagic101 on Instagram. And everything I do is at Rare Drop. So go to raredrop.co. And check that out. We will see you in 1 week to talk about Andor, but I will see some of you tonight to talk about Andor for Star Wars and Scotch Game Night. And as usual, may the Force be with you.
No, you.